Please open your Bibles in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verse 31. We will read all the way till verse 37. Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verse 31. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went to Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosened, and he began to talk, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the word of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity you give me to share this scripture with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Somehow we are all deaf. And in the gospel, you called us deaf people who couldn't listen unless you touch our hearts. In the gospel, you're inviting us to listen to your voice. Please come, Holy Spirit, and help us to listen to you in a way that we could be overwhelmed with amazement, in a way that we could say, "He has done everything so well." Help us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to tell you why I chose this scripture, and there is one personal reason, one ministerial reason. The personal reason has to do that I haven't been able to preach this scripture in Spanish because it's too emotional for me. During the last 4 years or so, God's been leading our hearts and our ministries down in Colombia into the deaf community in Medellin. There are, they said, between 7,000 and 25,000 deaf people. Hard to measure because most of them are hidden by their own families. And it just 25, 30 years ago where the law and the government has been helping them and making schools and other things available for them. So it's a big and huge challenge as a missionary field for us. This week I was walking in the mall here. I don't remember the name of the mall. What's the name of the mall? Willowbrook? Yeah, I was walking there. And I saw a bunch of people. All of them were old, elderly people. And they were communicating to each other using sign language. It was so beautiful. They have their own community. They could go and have lunch together. They can talk their own language. And I was almost crying because I haven't seen that situation in Colombia. Most of the deaf people that we are reaching out are young people because only 25 or 30 years ago, the government started helping them to have education and to know the language they needed for their communication. So it's a big challenge for us. So when I come to this scripture, God brought my heart to this scripture to share with you so you can pray for the deaf of Medellin, but also because somehow we are deaf. Somehow we need God to open our ears to listen his voice. Somehow our senses are not well aware of what God's doing. And we need more the touching of Jesus to understand his ways and understand especially how good he is in our own lives. Well, I'm here in the scripture and I need your help because my English is so small. So I have few words in English. And one of those words that are challenging always for me and for any speaker of English as a second language is adjectives. Those words that you use most of the time as synonyms to qualify things. So I'm going to read the scripture again, and I'm going to ask you to pick an adjective that you think will fit into the thing that is being described in that specific verse. So I'm going to give you the first one so you can sort of understand the idea, but you're going to help me. And please be merciful on me with all these kind of adjectives you have, like this long one, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You know, be merciful. You know, in English, you have such a complicated language. Lots of adjectives, lots of words to describe something. So let's start. Verse 31. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. What adjective we would use? I would say interesting. The people who have been, you know, writing and, you know, investigating those scriptures said that Jesus was moving away from the Jewish territory, getting into places where there was not much knowledge about his mission, the prophecies of the whole Old Testament and so. And especially, Jesus was sort of escaping the crowds, trying to find times and places where he could be with his disciples. And even some people talk about sort of sabbatical Jesus was taking. In the previous account, you see a lady claiming for his daughter, and she was not Jewish, and Jesus asked her to wait for the Jewish to be served first, and then she said, but even the dogs, and then Jesus praised her faith for that. So it's kind of interesting. Jesus is escaping from the crowds, going where there was not much knowledge of his ministry. Yeah, that's verse 31. You used the word interesting in a very interesting way. Sometimes when I listen to a Canadian person saying interesting, I have to look at his or her face because I'm not sure what you mean when you say it's interesting. Could mean I have no idea about it. Could mean I want to know more. Could be even like, it's disgusting, but because you Canadians are so polite, you use the word interesting. So this verse 31 doesn't say much, it's just Jesus moving away. It's interesting. So let's go 32. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. So what adjective do you use? Some people think there was a sort of kind of announcement from Mark that even that far away, people wanted Jesus. Some will say, okay, here is kind of superstitious thing. Like, they didn't want to listen to the gospel of Jesus. They just wanted Jesus to touch them. That was all, like a miracle maker, just the touch of Jesus. But it could be a family that was having lots of difficulties with this child or with this man in their home, and they were desperate of years and years not being able to communicate with him, and now they heard about Jesus, so at least do something for this friend or this relative of ours and help him. So what adjective will you use? Like helpful, mystical, a little odd. Okay. You're helping me, but I need more of your help, okay? 33. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his finger into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. What's your adjective?
Bizarre.
What else?
Confusing.
What is he doing so? What else?
Shocking.
Yeah. It's so weird. It's kind of imagine Pastor Ben, Pastor Paul, and Pastor Wes starting a new ministry, the spitting ministry. So everybody come for the spitting ministry. I don't really, it's a good idea, actually. Kind of weird. It's a personal treatment, very unique. Jesus does so again in the next chapter for a blind man, but it's very unique. Okay, verse 34. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be open. So what's your adjective?
Interesting.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. And it's like in Psalms 121, not much hope around. You just have to look up to heaven. And then this one word prayer, a healing prayer or a healing declaration. Father, be open. Kind of the voice of Jesus coming directly to this man to open his ears and his heart. And I think everybody was looking at Jesus and say, that's interesting. Okay, 35. The treatment continues on. At this, the man's ears were open, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. So what's the adjective? Amazing. Surprising. No doctors were involved. No medicines. It was just like that. Just like that. The power of Jesus. Amazing. Okay. 36. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. But the more they did so, the more they kept talking about it. Your adjective? Surprising. I mean, weird. Aren't we supposed to share the gospel? To talk about Jesus to everyone? You know, some, that's been, especially the book of the Gospel of Mark. Why in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is always asking not to tell, not to tell, not to tell? Several answers. Jesus didn't want to compromise his gospel in terms of his message. It was way more important than his miracle. In the chapter 1, Jesus said, I have to go to other villages because the crowd was kind of eating Jesus. And many times they didn't have any time to eat because they were all surrounded with people and they wanted to share the gospel, to announce that the kingdom of God was here. So he didn't want to compromise that aspect of sharing the gospel was way more important than even making miracles. Another answer could be that he wanted them to share the full gospel. Because if they said just Jesus is a miracle maker, that was true, that was important, that was not the whole gospel. Okay? They needed to wait till the last week when he was giving his life and being resurrected. So it could be an answer. But he was asking them not to tell. And as much as he was saying and asking them not to tell, they couldn't stop. But saying to anyone, Jesus is here. You need to talk to Jesus. You need the treatment of Jesus. So kind of weird, kind of interesting too. Then 37. And we don't need an adjective for 37 because it's there. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Seems like this miracle for this deaf person was way, 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 way more important than many other miracles. But especially this expression. He has done everything well. So the adjective is, they were overwhelmed with amazement. That was my point. And because I have not much words in English, gotta be just one point. And gotta be a very simple point, but so important. You and I, we as a church, as people who want to follow Jesus, we need to be overwhelmed with amazement, thinking and believing on the goodness of God. How good God is with us. Even not knowing much what's going on, even being deaf for so long, even facing all sort of sufferings and difficulties, God is good. As you sing, God is good all the time. And in theology we say God is good in everything he does. But that's not just theological or doctrinal statement. That gotta be something that we really grasp. Like going to the dentist. I've been going to the dentist recently many times because I've been having some difficulties. And I don't know anyone who goes to the dentist just for fun. If you do, God bless you, but whenever you go to the dentist, you know you're going to suffer. And as you grow older, you suffer more. Because you got so nervous, so stressed, and this little beautiful sound, like zzzz, is so awful. I mean, even just to think about it. And why you go to the dentist? Because you really believe it's going to be good for you. If you think it's not going to be good for me, you don't go to the dentist, or at least you don't go to that dentist. But, so you're coming to Jesus, and if you're here, and you're still kind of searching, you're still trying to understand, let me tell you, this scripture is coming before the big confession of the Gospel of Mark, which is in chapter 8. In the mouth of Peter, you are the Son of God. But before you make that big confession, you have to believe that he's good. This is why Mark brings this story to here. And this is why Mark puts it in a kind of crescendo in our story. You need to accept, submit yourself to the goodness of God. His name was Alan Gardiner. He was a missionary from England in South America in the 19th century. He did many trips and he did lots of missionary work. By the end of his life, he suffered greatly. He was beaten. He had all sorts of sufferings in the little island of Pitten. He was left there and he died for having no food. The last entry of his journal said exactly these words: I'm amazed with the goodness of God. How is that possible that Christians, even here, but I think especially when we go to heaven, we'll see back in our history, and brothers and sisters, I guarantee you, we're going to say he was good. In Colombia, we got persecution, we got also troubles, narco traffic, war, and all that. We have seen lots of deaths and lots of things. I'm pretty sure you have experienced also sufferings in your life. But I guarantee you, when you go to heaven, you will go back to your life and you see it like in a panoramic way. And you will say, God, it's been good in everything He's done in my life. Do you believe so? Now, my challenge is that we can say that not only for the past. And I think that was kind of the attitude that Mark was building into his readers before they hear of Peter's confession. We can also think of our future and say, God is going to be good in everything He will do for me in the future. There are going to be deaths. There are going to be sufferings. There are going to be pains. There are going to be all sorts of difficulties, but He's with me and He's good. Not only for my past, He's only good for my future. Taste and see the goodness of God. God works everything well for those who love Him. So that's how important it is for our lives to experience the goodness of God, confess the goodness of God, announce the goodness of God. So, brings me to three questions I have for you today. Because the whole scenario of this account goes from somebody who was brought to Jesus. Jesus treating somebody in a very unique way. And then that people being not able to stop but telling the rest of the people around about the goodness of Jesus. So you have these three questions, like a way of application, but also a way of leading us into prayer. First of all, are you willing to see others to bring you to Jesus? I think it has to do with the lack of humility in our lives. This deaf person didn't have a single idea what was going on. He never heard about Jesus because he couldn't hear. He was brought by somebody else. And I think it's because of pride that we don't ask our families, our church, to come along, to speak into our lives, to bring us to Jesus. We are so deaf in our own world that we think we have to figure it out by ourselves. And I think the challenge here is the beauty of, because if God is good, if you really believe in the goodness of God, He has placed you here. He has placed you in that family. So you need that family. You need that church. You need that people to pray for you. And many, many times, I find myself not asking for prayer. I'm going to pray for myself. I'm going to handle it. But you need to be brought by somebody else to Jesus. That's the beauty of the ministry you're starting here, of making sure people have time to pray for each other. I tell my people in Colombia, if you come to church and you need prayer for a small thing, for a big thing, for the unknown, for whatever, don't walk away from the church without asking somebody to pray for you. We are the body of Christ. We are those who bring people to Jesus. Second question, are you willing to see Jesus take you aside, especially when He is doing unique things? I strongly believe that each of us have a special treatment from Jesus. That's why I have a little bit problem with testimonials. I know that we are supposed to give our testimonials and tell people and praise God before people for the things God has done in our lives. But sometimes when you listen to a testimonial, somebody is talking about, Jesus providing, Jesus taking care of you, Jesus protecting, whatever, you start thinking, I want to be treated that way. So you run to talk to that person because you want to be treated that way. And that's okay, but I think in this scripture, Jesus is showing the crowd that the gospel is personal. And the treatment of Jesus is very unique. Jesus is going to do weird things with you. Through you, he will spit into your mouth. He will touch with his fingers your ears. So are you willing to, let's say, allow Jesus to touch you? Or you're telling Jesus, I want you, Jesus, to touch me in my way, in the way I could understand, in a very polite way. Do you know that Jesus could do whatever to you? Now my third question. Are you willing to bring other people to Jesus? It's very interesting that they couldn't stop but bringing people to Jesus. Because if you really believe he's good, you will allow other people to bring you to Jesus. You will allow Jesus to touch you wherever he wants, the way he wants to do it, whatever. And you will bring people to Jesus because it's not a matter of your way, your understanding. It's the matter of Jesus touching them. I think it's the lack of compassion. But compassion doesn't have to do much with my feelings toward people. Compassion has to do way more with my feelings toward God. If I really know that God is good, I'm going to bring everybody to Jesus because he's so good, even if I don't understand quite well what's going on. So these three questions will help us to pray. And I'm asking my Colombian friends here to join the prayer team you have in the church to pray for you. So I will ask you please to stand up. And they're going to move with the prayer team around. And they're going to be available for you to pray. They will have just one word. I think there were some words there. Because it's very interesting, because in this scripture, it's just one word prayer. So they won't pray in English, they pray in Spanish. And for you to know, God understands Spanish. And you could, they have a little paper with those words. You just point out one of those words: family, friends, health, finances, relationships, spiritual life, and please allow them to pray for you. They're going to bring you to Jesus. But also, if you want to pray for Colombia, they will have this little booklet where we have some prayer items for Colombia. So you can keep it, or you can pray with them right away for our country. Let's pray together before, and meanwhile we're starting worshiping and getting together for prayer. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be together today. Thank you, Father, for responding to our deafness. We are deaf. Our senses are not totally aware. There are many things that you're doing that we have no idea. There are many needs in our hearts that we have no idea. We kind of get used to our own wickedness. Help us, Father. Help us in bringing people to take us to Jesus. Help us in the ways you want to treat us. So special, so tender, so profound, so unique, and sometimes so weird. Help us to be open to whatever you are doing, because you're good. You have done everything so well. Help us to be compassionate. Compassionate enough to bring people to you through prayer, through service, through whatever means. We are confessing that you are our God. That if we look back in our personal story, we can see you're good, but also that we can announce the goodness of God for our future. We adore you. We bless your name. You are our Father. You're everything we have. We need nothing else, just you. Touch our lives. Help us, Father. Lots of need, lots of sufferings, lots of difficulties, lots of obstacles. In all of them, you will show your grace, your mercy, the abundance of your love to us. We bless your name in the name of Jesus.